You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Monday here on the North Shore Drive podcast, Mike Tomlin spoke at the owners' meetings Sunday. We'll go over what the biggest things he said, including what he said about the quarterback position, what it means for Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, as well as what the Steelers haven't done at center and what they did do in trading away Deontay Johnson. All that and more here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko, let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports, from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm Chris Carter. He's Brian Batko. We're talking all things Steelers today on this Monday episode here on March 25th. It is time to talk some Steelers here, but first, we got to remind you this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. They have also over 20 televisions that you can watch whatever game that you want, including if you want to catch some more of the March Madness as that continues with the Sweet 16 coming up this weekend. Mike's Beer Bar is the best place to go for that, and for just a nice night in another town. It's on the North Shore, right across the street from PNC Park on Federal Street. Go check it out today for all the amazing different beer options and for the amazing food options, like Steak on a Stone, where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you. And we'll talk more about that later. Brian.
I think I'm going to have to get down to Mike's next weekend for the Sweet 16 in the Elite 8. Yeah. Well, as you can see right now, I'm repping UConn, which as
I was going to say, Mr. Husky man, I didn't know you were such a big Husky guy.
So actually, I grew up hating UConn, especially basketball, because they played against Pitt in the Big All East the every year. But then my sister-in-law went there and played volleyball. So we kind of became a UConn athletics family. Yeah, it's actually a UConn volleyball shirt, but the men's basketball team, the reigning champs, are. And I don't really like root for them now, but it's a good time to be a UConn hoops fan. As we're recording this Sunday night, they're destroying Northwestern. It's like 36-14. So
yeah,
unless something crazy happens by the time you listen to this, they're going to be back in the Sweet 16.
I don't know the last time it wasn't a good time to be a UConn basketball fan, either men's or women's, was destroying everyone at some point in time. But let's get into Steelers talk here, Brian. Now, Mike Tomlin came out and addressed the situation with Justin Fields, with Russell Wilson, and he said, quote unquote, he said, called it pole position, that Russell Wilson will be the Steelers starter, but also gave that a caveat to say, like, hey, this is going to be a competition. Quote, rest assured, when it's time to compete, Justin Fields will be given an opportunity to compete and will allow those guys to sort themselves out. But I thought it was appropriate to describe it in a way that describes it in a term of how we get started. And that to me sounds like, Brian, like the plan was always to kind of make it somewhat of a competition, but Russell Wilson is the experienced guy who knows how to work an NFL offense, knows how, has been in multiple NFL offenses already, and I think there's a certain standard of leadership that he can bring to a room that doesn't really have a centralized leader that everyone can get behind right now.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe partially what – and I'm a little – I don't know if I totally buy the whole idea of, oh, when it's time to compete, Justin will compete. Well, what will that mean? If it's week four and Russ is stinking up the joint and you're not moving the ball, then what, are you going to have competition in practice? So, I mean, I guess it's somewhat interesting that Tomlin's keeping that door open. Maybe you have to do that to some extent for Justin Fields and in his camp so that they feel like they've got a fighting chance in this thing. But I think it also speaks a little bit to, you know, why Kenny Pitt wanted out and wanted out swiftly. If you remember, I think it was Tom Pelissero of NFL Network who tweeted, and used that same phrase that Tomlin told Pickett, Russell Wilson will be in pole position. And, you know, one of the few acknowledgments of it all that we have was Pickett liking that tweet. So my guess is when that, when it got relayed to him that way by Tomlin in an effort to be transparent, as he said, Kenny's probably thinking, I remember the camp of 2022. Mm-hmm. I remember what it was like to see a veteran free agent quarterback signing in quote unquote pole position in Mitch Trubisky. I'd have to go back and look if Tomlin ever used that phrase or if he just like woke up one morning and it hit him and he was like, pole position. It's a great way to describe Russell Wilson's standing with us right now. I'm going to keep using that. but yeah, I mean, as we know, that year in camp, while Kenny did get some looks with the first team, first in practice and in preseason games, Mitch Trubisky was, you know, his standing wire to wire was starter. I don't believe he worked with the second team even once. So that pole position never changed. You know, he rode the pole the whole time and won the race by quite a few noses. So that's probably where there was a bit of a disconnect with Kenny Pickett. I think his, you know, again, we don't have to keep belaboring this point, but I'll make it because it could apply to Fields too here in this discussion, is just that I think Pickett and those around him probably figured it's not that we don't want to stay and compete for the job. It's that we think there's not going to be an actual opportunity to compete for the job.
Yeah, I get that. I think I hear that's certainly part of it. Here is the, you know, the idea that this is a faux competition. This is not something that's actually going to happen. This is going to be, hey, we're saying you're competing, but the guy who's the number one is the number one, and there's not much unless he messes it up. That's when your competition opens up. And if Kenny,
how do you do that in training camp in preseason? Like I can't even really picture what that would look like if Russell Wilson's getting picked off by Luke Barkou and Miles Killebrew in Latrobe and just looks like he's completely washed. I mean, I guess that would be a major red flag, but at the same time, you know, he'd probably be talking to us afterward and saying stuff like, yeah, I'm getting to learn my guys. We're working on our timing, you know, routes, new offense for me. So, you know, sometimes I'm taking chances in here that I wouldn't take in games. So it'd be very difficult, I think, to stage a quarterback competition when you're saying one guy who's got the kind of credibility and resume that Russell Wilson has is in pole position. I think the Justin Fields believers out there in the world, audience, listeners, readers, would much rather Tomlin say no one's in pole position. Russell might get the first reps, but this is going to be an even playing field.
Yeah, and here's the thing is that I think that part of this, too, is it goes back to like the vet, like, Russell Wilson, in a lot of respects, like, should be the guy who at least like he has the higher ceiling right now as the guy that's been in the NFL, knows what's expected. And we know how valuable the Steelers see a guy like he talked about. It's also like the 365-day part of this is he knows how to be a quarterback from start to finish in a year. That's something the Steelers value is, do you know what's expected of you, not just on game day, not just you know, in practice, but, you know, all throughout the year. And that makes sense for him getting that. But the question will be then, how much of a leeway does Russell Wilson have to to make mistakes before a Justin Fields? Like, do we see a situation where Steelers fans are chanting for Justin Fields in week 2 and 3, like probably they were last year when, you know, when it was Mitch Trubisky and they were chanting for Kenny Pickett. Like, if that becomes a situation, how long is Russell Wilson's lease versus what Mitch Trubisky's was?
Yeah. And I mean, the stuff about Russ knows how to be a quarterback all year round and whatnot, like that might just be some Tomlin rhetoric. Justin Fields is not a second year guy. I mean,
he said 3 years,
right? He's going into his fourth year in the league. So that part of it's a little odd to me, but I guess Tomlin also kind of laid out that, you know, they were interested in both of these guys in the off season, which, you know, a lot of us look, I'll say it again. I've said it on the show before. I was wrong. I would misinterpreted how they were looking to operate and move this off season. And in large part, it seems like it was a lack of confidence in Kenny Pickett that drove that. And, you know, again, that was their stated belief in him. Just a reminder, don't always believe what the Steelers tell you. So I suppose we could use that same logic here for the Russell Justin Fields competition quotes. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Like, I know 2 years ago, I'm looking this up on the fly. Russell Wilson did not play in preseason with the Broncos. Sean Payton had him play in preseason last year. I'm not sure how many games. He threw 19 passes. That's probably two games worth of work, maybe three if he just did one series. But that's going to be another, I think, part of the equation here, obviously, is Russ is a guy who also didn't typically play in preseason in Seattle, too, I believe, based on my cursory research here, at least not his last year there. So, you know, if he's going to be part of this and Tomlin's going to kind of hold him to the standards that he has quarterbacks in the past, then he's probably going to have to get out there, suit up in the exhibition, show what he's got. And that maybe could make things a little bit interesting between him and Fields if, say, Russ is not looking good and Fields is tearing it up. But again, if he's not getting a chance to play much with the first stringers against real players on defense, you're going to be taking it all with a grain of salt anyway.
Absolutely. I want to talk about other things that Mike Tomlin said other than just quarterback, because he addressed quite a few things. We'll do that here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. If you had a chance, you might have been able to watch the Duquesne Dukes at Mike's Beer Bar when they pulled off their first round win. That was an awesome experience just to see from the perspective of PPG Paints Arena when I was covering that night, and everyone was reacting to it there in that arena. But if you were at Mike's, you probably had a special night too. Mike's is a great place to take in all sporting events, though, whether it's the Sweet 16 or whether you're getting ready for the NFL draft. We're also having a live NFL draft show at Mike's Beer Bar coming up, so go check that out when that happens. But at any point in time, if you want great beer, just go to Mike's Beer Bar. They have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are local, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. You can check them out at any point in time and get your great experience there. They also have great food like steak on a stone, where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone. Every time you cut off a piece, press it into the stone, and you choose how well done you want every single bite. It's Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Brian Badko. Brian, let's talk about the center position, because that's one position that Mike Tomlin kind of acknowledges, like, hey, yeah, we got Nate Herbig, but we probably have some work there to do. And you and I have talked about this Nate Herbig situation. That ain't real. Like, if Nate Herbig's the starting center next year for the Steelers, good luck. Like, that's just not good. That's not going to be something that you want to have happen. The Steelers are probably going to invest in the position, but he also acknowledged there's only a couple to a few players in this draft class at center who are plug and play type of guys. And that kind of puts us a sense of urgency on the Steelers to solve that in the draft or make some other move that might address the center position somehow before then. But most of the free agent centers have been gobbled up. The ones that are left are kind of like the candidates. You're not sure if they're going to stay in the NFL because of injury concerns, or they're not good enough to be a starting center. What do you read about what the Steelers are kind of laying down about what they have to do for this offensive line?
They're making it pretty clear and obvious that they've got to get a center early in the draft. Maybe they've got some hidden gems that, you know, Andy Weidel or somebody in their scouting department who's crunching the film right now, even as we speak, is saying, we're circling, you know, center X, who's projected by most people to be a fourth, fifth round guy. We think he can be a day one starter. So, I mean, that's possible, but if that's not the case, then yeah, you're probably going to have to use your first round pick on Jackson Powers Johnson, or you're going to have to hope that Zach Frazier falls to the second, or maybe Cedric Van Pran from Georgia. So they are, you know, painting themselves into a bit of a corner in terms of how they're going to spend these draft picks. Maybe they don't particularly care if the rest of the league knows, because they've got pick 20. Positional value wise, centers don't typically go that high, so they might just think that's fine. It's going to work out. We're going to get the guy that we want. But yeah, I mean, the Herbig thing never really aligned to me. I've been saying on the show for months now that he's just not a center. And I think Mike Tomlin brought this up when he was also asked about Broderick Jones down in Orlando in terms of him staying at left tackle or going back to left tackle or staying at right, and said something like, you know, we've got a lot of player acquisition still to go. Where guys end up is often determined once we know all the personnel on our roster. And I think you can sort of argue with that a little bit. I mean, I get what he's saying. You want to get your best 22 out there. You want to get your best 11 on offense. You want to get your best five on the O-line. But I think there's also something to be – in position flexibility helps you do that. But I think there's also something to be said for if you've got a player who's played left tackle all his life and has told us before, and probably you, that that's where he's most comfortable, mm-hmm. then maybe some of your player acquisition should go toward investing and getting that guy where he's best at, or at least feels he's best at.
I agree. And another thing, too, is that Mike Tomlin, when asked about Arthur Smith, he said, quote, I respect his approach on the ball. His values are very evident. Looking at his tape, they are aligned with things that we value, controlling the game through our bigs and building from there. If they're going to control the game through their bigs, Brian, I feel like they should make sure that they have a starting capable center and a better left tackle than Dan Moore Jr., which might be Broderick Jones. But if it's Broderick Jones on left, having another option on the right tackle position. So that tells me that, like, you know, saying they have more acquisitions to make here, those acquisitions, Patrick Queen, awesome addition at linebacker. Dante Jackson, we'll get to him in a second here with the whole Deontay Johnson talk. Some of the additions, you know, really interesting moves. The quarterback situation, they've completely flipped around from where it was. Like, they've certainly been busy. But the one group that was supposed to be the premier group that was going to say, hey, Arthur Smith's offense works for the Pittsburgh Steelers, was the offensive line. And they have not addressed that yet. And that, to me, you're painting yourself into a corner in the NFL draft unless there is some other move that we just don't see coming right now.
Yeah, I just pulled up the list of still available free agent centers. This is from SpotTrack.com. So if any of these guys have been signed and they missed it, blame SpotTrack, not me. But you know, Cody Whitehair, he's 31, former Bear, played with James Daniels and Mitch Trubisky there in Chicago. I think he's also played a lot of guard in recent years too. Connor Williams, he's young, he's 26, but coming off a season-ending injury for the Dolphins, but was a pretty good player for them until he went down.
There's some who speculate that he could be done for his entire career.
That's not good. That's not what you want to hear. It doesn't seem like a guy who's going to be up and at him for August training camp. And then the last guy that has kind of been on my radar, Brian Allen, former Rams starting center. He actually lost his job to Coleman Shelton for the Rams last year, and that's who started when the Steelers played him, and Shelton's now in Chicago. So I don't know what's going to go on there if Allen finds his way back to L.A., but he's at least somebody who's been there and done that. So, yeah, I mean, there's just very few realistic options at this point for a center who can be – you know, a good enough starting caliber player that can help you sort of dominate up front the way they want to do with Arthur Smith as their play caller.
Yeah, I think that's the predicament they're in right now, man. Like, they have to.
Guys, I guess you could wait until after the draft. All right, you know, the Stars did the opposite of aligning. We didn't get Jaxson Powers-Johnson or Frazier or Van Pran. We had to settle for a guy in the fourth or fifth round. Let's bring back like Mason Cole or something if he's still unsigned, and you know, hope for the best. Basically, hope this rookie is ready. And if not, you know, what are we going to do? So, or if not Cole, if that's just, you know, leaves a bad taste in your mouth, someone like a Cody Whitehair or an old friend like J.C. Hassenauer or whatever, those are emergency options, I think.
Yeah, they're that would not be ideal for a group that it would be different if this team had a lot of other things going for it. It does have other things going for it. Like, I'm not saying like this roster stinks as is right now. They certainly have things that work in their favor. But when this team is the reason you got this offensive coordinator was to run the football. And if you're going to run the football, you need a really good offensive line. If you don't have a good center, that really dampens the chances of you having a really good offensive line, especially in running the ball when you need the center to control the middle of the line of scrimmage. So,
I get what you're saying, Chris. It would be different if this wasn't a team that was leaning so heavily into the run first identity with the way they've been built and now the coaching staff. And same thing that we just said. And I guess if, you know, throw out all those kind of retread names that I threw at you, you know, at that point, maybe you would just try Nate Herbig there and hope a guy who's never really done it can develop into that because of his strength and everything. But a lot of that also just does apply to left tackle still. I mean, Dan Moore is somebody who he can hold it down. He's solid. He's done it. He's experienced. He's kind of seen it all 3 years in. But has he ever been really the kind of road grading dominant player that you want on that side? I would argue probably not. And that's why you've been looking to upgrade him over him for at least 1 year and now maybe two in this upcoming draft.
Yeah, that's where I see there's it would be really interesting to see how they plan to address these situations, because it is not there's not some easy just replaceable answers on the roster right now. Unless you want to
maybe Dylan Cook or Spencer Anderson is just going to show up yoked to OTAs and be like, I'm the right tackle now. All right, let's go. We're throwing people out of the club in the AFC North.
Oh, boy. We'll see what other moves they make. But we also want to talk about something else that Tom addressed, and that was also the Deontay Johnson trade. We'll discuss that on the next here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Stick with us. We'll be right back. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko. Let's get into what Mike Tomlin said about the Deontay Johnson trade, because this was kind of interesting because he addressed it. And of course the Steelers looking at how they were going to, do things moving forward. They were asked about things moving back. And Mike Tomlin said that Deontay Johnson being traded away wasn't necessarily a move about him not like, you know, one, he didn't request that. It wasn't a displeasure thing with the Steelers itself. It was just a need for need. They needed a corner, and Dante Jackson was an answer for them, and the Panthers needed a wide receiver. It was simple as that, and they moved up from a fourth to a third round pick. But Brian, I'm sorry. The move here also creates a hole at Steelers wide receiver position. Granted, this is a great wide receivers draft class and a chance to get that, and Deontay Johnson's contract runs out this year, so that kind of makes sense. But I feel like the return on Deontay Johnson isn't what you expect for a guy of his caliber, especially when, you know, I was getting phone calls from like radio stations in Buffalo who were like, hey, are the Steelers interested in trading Deontay Johnson? Because he'd be really a great fit in Buffalo. And I'm sure if they're thinking that, that means the Bills are thinking like that. And we've heard reports that the Chiefs were thinking like that. And I imagine they might've paid a little bit better than number two corner and swapping a fourth for a third. So that being said, Brian, do you buy what Mike Tomlin's saying about Deontay Johnson's trade situation?
Not really, no. I mean, unless they like Dante Jackson a lot better than us and people around the league who have, you know, watched him play since his injury a couple years ago and think that he's kind of cooked. So, I mean, I think there is reporting on them potentially trying to trade for him last year at the deadline, and then he's just a guy they've had their eye on for a while. But man, no, I think when you just look at the two players, you know, Deontay, I think it's overrated at times, but he also gets underrated at times too. So we know how good he is at getting open, and he put the drops behind him. I always think it's corny when people continue to bring that up with regard to him, but just from stuff I observed and heard, I don't know if he was very happy here. I don't know if the Steelers were very happy with him here. You know, and it was yet again tonight, Sunday night, after Tomlin speaks at the owners' meetings in Orlando, Deontay Johnson is tweeting again, sort of cryptically as always. And, you know, his first one was about somebody fumbling something. And I think a lot of Steelers fans just assumed he's talking about himself and the Steelers letting him go. But then he, you know, claps back with the old, I love my time in Pittsburgh regardless, but fans are nuts. They think everything I tweet is about them. It's just like, it's always something. There was always some unnecessary drama, and it's just like, what are we really doing here? But no, I think it's twofold. I mean, I think number one, their relationship had just kind of run its course, and he's going into the last year of his deal. They got Dante Jackson to take the pay cut. That's the funny thing. Tomlin says, oh, it was a player for player trade. So, but then they do move up in the draft. They do get Jackson to take less money. It's like, everybody knows what was going on here. One player was traded for a worse player, most likely. And, you know, there was some value exchanging hands accordingly. But, you know, you alluded to it, Chris. Like, I just think I'm seeing the future here. And I've been on record saying I don't think the Steelers are going to use their first round pick on a wideout. We just went through all the center and tackle.
Yeah.
Issues. So I think you've got to invest in the O-line again there still. But day two, round two or three, I just think it's a slam dunk that they're going to get. Because I think there are 15-plus receivers in this draft who can play right away and help you. So I've seen the future in at that Saturday, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever it is, presser on the south side after the Steelers have made all their picks. Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan are going to come in, and they're going to get asked about taking whether it's Ricky Pearsall or Xavier Leggett or whoever, Xavier Worthy in round two or three, and they're going to say, yeah, we always knew we wanted to do this. This is a historically good receiver draft class. We knew that when we traded Deontay. Like, this was the plan. So I think it's making more and more sense to me with each passing day that I look at all the receivers that are going to be on the board next month.
I think that's certainly going to be the part of the situation the Steelers expected was to be able to get a receiver that was really talented.
And I think they'd probably say everybody that's like, you know, spending big money on receivers this offseason, like, what do you think? I mean, I get NFL experience. You can't always project from college to the pros. You feel better about getting someone who's done it at this level. But, man, the value. If there's one thing we learned about Omar Khan and the Steelers this offseason, they crave the value. You're going to get good value out of this rookie receiver class, I think.
Absolutely, and we'll keep a monitor on all those situations. Now I want to switch to another topic here, Brian, and just switching away from the Steelers real quick. March Madness real quick. So we saw the Duquesne Dukes. They got their inspiring win. I want Brian Batko to explain to everyone who he picked to win it all in his post-Gazette March Madness bracket and how that's working out for him.
It's not working out great. I'll tell you this. I did I think I'm in three bracket competitions.
Okay.
And pretty much I don't fill out different brackets for each one, but I did change the champion for each one just to give yourself a couple more bites at the apple. Like, I'm not greedy. I don't need to try to win all three, but if I could win one, that'd be nice. And you get so many more points for picking the correct winner. You are talking to the reigning Post-Gazette bracket poll champion from last year, because I think I picked UConn to either go all the way or at least go to the championship. And not many people had that as a four seed. So in one of my three brackets, and it just so happened to be in two of them, I have Purdue and Arizona look good getting to the Sweet 16. Just so happened in the Post-Gazette one with you, Abby, Noah, Chris Dell, a lot of other folks, Jason Mackey, I picked Kentucky to win it all.
Woof.
And safe to say, there won't be a repeat of me in the PG poll this year. I'm dead on arrival here with the Wildcats. John Calipari. You know what? Part of my thought process, if you read any of the Post-Gazette coverage last week, sure. Noah had some good stories on him. Calipari seemed so loose coming back home to Pittsburgh, Trey Mitchell and Adu Thiero, Pittsburgh kids on the roster. I'm like, man, he's watched the film. He's studied Oakland. He knows his guys are ready to go. They're going to wipe the floor with the Grizzlies and then beat NC State probably in the second round. No, maybe he was too loose. They laid an egg, and I'm the victim of it.
Certainly. A lot of people were victims of Kentucky. I think I had them going to at least the Sweet 16 this year. That was certainly a hurt piece. I went with the chalk, and I picked UConn, and I'm currently tied for second in our league, so I'm doing pretty good in our pool right now. But all that being said, March Madness has been insane. Brian, you've had your share of covering college basketball and keeping up with it. What did you think of Duquesne's run to end this season?
Oh, I loved it. It's kind of a dormant Duquesne basketball fan. I don't want to say I'm a bandwagoner or a front runner. I mean, I kind of am, but like, I did root for them going up. I did go to games occasionally back when, you know, it was at the Palumbo Center. I've not been to the Chuck Cooper Fieldhouse yet. I'd like to go. Two kids. It's hard to make it out. I will prioritize a Duquesne game next season because they've got some juice at this point. But no, I used to go back in the day with, who were the some of the dudes they had? McAllister, one of their guards, I think was from West Mifflin or Duquesne High School. They actually had a big dude who his mom was my second or third grade teacher. John Pollock his name. I think he went to Highlands High School. So I've got some deep cuts. I've been riding with the Dukes for a while. They obviously haven't given fans too much to love, but this March was different. It was I was locked in on their A-10 tournament games, especially the championship, their first round game against BYU. I had prior obligations Saturday night, so I didn't get to see any of the game against Illinois except for the very end. But when I first checked my phone, it was like 30-11. So I was like, yeah, think that's the end of the Cinderella run for them. But it was awesome that it happened. Really cool for Keith Dambrot, who I covered a little bit early in his Duquesne coaching tenure. He was always a straight shooter, for sure. I remember I covered a game. They played Dayton in his first or second year, I think. And they got dunked on by Giannis Antetokounmpo's little brother.
Whoa.
Kostas Antetokounmpo played for Dayton. And Duquesne got dunked on by him. And Duquesne's big dude, like, shoved him going back up the court. And I asked Dambrot about that after the game. And he's like, I think it just says Duquesne's not going to get punked anymore. We're not going to just be, you know, the little brothers of everybody in the A-10. And that was 2017, maybe. So they've had a lot of ups and downs since then. And it took 7 years. But they were nobody's punk in that league this year. They won it, made March Madness, won a game, and gave a lot of people great memories. I just wish they could have gotten to the Sweet 16 for all the Duquesne staffers and fans who were held back in Pittsburgh because they were hosting, too. So of all the years for them to make it, it was a year that PPG Paints Arena was hosting first-round games and often at the same time as the Dukes were playing.
Yeah, certainly. It was an exciting run for the Duquesne Dukes. It's still exciting March Madness basketball all around, whereas we won't be on hand for those games. We'll keep you apprised of them here with all of our different podcasting shows here as well. We've got Pip Mailbag tomorrow coming out. Noah Hounds is moving on from the beat, so it'll just be just me this week, but then we'll have Abby Schnabel on next week.
Noah. Yeah, pour some out for Noah.
He's going out to the Pirates beat, you know, doing his thing there. But we'll have you stay tuned with all of our shows here on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Remember, we're daily here with all the different shows we produce, and we are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with this North Shore Drive podcast. We're back Wednesday talking more Steelers here.
I might have to go to Mike's Friday night for my neighbor across the street's a big Tennessee fan. He's from Cookeville, Tennessee. The Vols are still in it, so
and they got Creighton. That's going to be a great matchup.
That's going to be I think those are two of the best teams in the country. It's, you know, tough bracket luck for them that they see each other in the Sweet 16, but they're both very good. And I think, is that Purdue or no? Maybe Houston.
No, Purdue's down there.
Oh yeah, so Purdue in there. Yeah, that is a grinder of a bracket.
Oh boy, it's gonna be fun here. We'll keep you abreast on all the things here, sports from the Pittsburgh Post Gazette on your favorite podcasting apps or on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed this one. Subscribe for all of our daily content as well as the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.